So it is my great privilege to be able to speak to you tonight something about Bhakti Yoga, the process of connecting with the Supreme Absolute Truth through the process of loving devotion. There are many kinds of yoga, and in the Gita, Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatin antaratmana. Shadavan bhajate yomam same yogta tamo mataha. Of all yogis, that person, that yogi who is always engaged in thinking about me, engaged in the process of bhakti yoga, in loving reciprocation, is the most intimately united with me and is the highest of all yogis. I was talking to some students down at Massey University during the week, and we were talking different yoga. Oh yes, I'm into yoga. And it was very interesting to see that he didn't know that the word even yoga means to connect. It's not just for doing gymnastic exercises to improve our posture and improve our health. These are some of the side effects of hatha yoga, performance of asanas, sitting erect or sitting with lotus posture. Or so many asanas are there, and good for health. But the idea of that preliminary stage of yoga is to be able to control the bodily functions so that one can actually sit peacefully and then focus. The next process is the pranayama, breathing then is inward and outward breath. And then being able to focus the mind. And the ultimate focus of the mind or the consciousness is to focus on the Supreme. It is not meant simply to focus on a candle or focus on a crack on the wall or adjoining between the ceiling and the roof. That is not really the goal of yoga. Yeah? The goal of yoga is to come to the point where we become absorbed in the Supreme. Krishna, our God, he explains that ye yathamam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyaham. Everyone follows me. Everyone follows my path in all respects. Either we follow the Supreme directly or indirectly. So generally in this world we find that we are following the Supreme indirectly and not directly. When we follow indirectly, we find ourselves in many difficult situations. We find ourselves covered by the external energy of the Lord. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is explaining to us that it is better to transform our consciousness from absorption in the external energy. The external energy is made up of bodies. We're all embodied beings. So Krishna says, Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano bhutireva cha. Krishna says, this separated material energy, the place that we find ourselves in now, is my inferior energy. It is my energy, but it is my inferior energy. So as long as we absorb our consciousness in the inferior energy, we will get inferior satisfaction, inferior pleasure, very limited amounts of happiness and joy. Because our focus is connecting to the earth, the water, the fire, the air, and the ether, the material elements. So no matter how we squeeze those elements, pull them, push them, move them around, play with that energy, it's the inferior external energy that Krishna says. So yoga means to transform our consciousness, our awareness to another level, a higher level of being. Aparyam itastvanyam, Krishna said in the next verse of the Gita, besides this inferior energy, there is a superior energy of mine. And that is the living beings who are not made of earth or water or fire or air or ether. The living being is even beyond the mind, the intellect, and the false ego, the false conceptions that we take on when we live in the world of matter or material existence. That's a lot to think about, isn't it? Kind of. But we're all pretty much stuck in the concept. I was listening to my spiritual master earlier today, and he was explaining we are thinking in this way. This is called the bodily concept of life. Because I'm born in New Zealand, I think I'm a Kiwi. Because I'm born in America, I think I'm American. If I'm born in India, I think I am Indian. It's a little bit like putting on a white shirt and saying, I am a white shirt. And because you have a saffron shirt on or a black jumper, we identify with our jumpers. We don't do that. So just as we don't identify with our jumper or a coat and think that is me, it's simply a covering. So bhakti yoga means for us to understand that we are existing within this covering, may be male or female, black or white, pink or yellow, or whatever the covering may be, whatever bodily concept we may have. So, transformation is the subject that I want to speak a little bit about this evening. And transformation is going on at all stages of our life, whether we want to or not. We transform our consciousness, our awareness, at different stages. A child's consciousness, awareness, changes or transforms. I was thinking about it, it's very interesting, that what we tend to value at the beginning of our life appears again towards the end of our life. I was thinking about this today, and I wrote a couple of notes. A baby, and I might not have got it completely correct here, but I was thinking a baby's value in life is security and safety. A child's looking for security and safety, wants to feel that. Then a child is inquisitive, so there's a change of consciousness, a transformation of consciousness. Inquisitive to find out, what is this, what is that, why is that, why is this, what's that, what's that? Knowledge, they want to develop. And in youth, the transformation, excitement seems to fill the air, passion in youthful times, pushing our boundaries, seeing how far we can squeeze the earth, water, fire, air, and ether. How can we shape it? How can we enjoy it? That's the youthful time. Adulthood, acquisition, ownership, power, prestige, seems to happen around that time. And the amazing thing, old age, I was thinking what came to me, security, safety. My mother stays in a retirement village, fabulous place, by the way. It's a really nice place. But when we went there, it's like a resort type place, so she loves it there. She loves to be independent. She's 91 years old and she still lives independently. When we went there, it's a funny story actually, but one of the most important things that was promoted was, this is a very safe place. It's very secure here. Thank you. It was so safe that when we first took my mother there, the man who was selling the flat where she lives was emphasizing the safety and security so much, my poor mother got, she felt she was going to be locked in. The man was saying, oh, the security cameras and the police are just around the corner. And my mum kind of misunderstood a bit. She thought, oh. And she was thinking, You know, she wouldn't be able to get out. It was so secure. So, transformation is going on from childhood to adulthood and on to old age. And there was a famous song written by a famous person, one of the Beatles, George Harrison, wrote a song. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Quite a good title. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Another famous person wrote in one of his books, I think it was Stephen Covey, he spoke about more or less when a pilot flies an airplane, at least 90 to 95% of the time he's off course. In the business of flying an airplane, or directing any machine, basically is that you off course, on course, off course, on course, off, like that, until you arrive at your destination. So life is certainly a journey from childhood through to old age. And the ancient Vedic scriptures explain to us that this journey that we are on now is only one amongst many, many lifetimes that we are traveling, birth after birth. Now this knowledge is very, what would you say, for a devotee, this is commonplace knowledge. But when we're absorbed in the material world, this seems quite amazing. And okay, is this true? Is this, how can you prove this? Yeah. Last week I did explain that, and it's very important for new people to understand that basic concept that we have many lifetimes. Maybe you should have got the water. Sorry, Hare Krishna. Very simply, Krishna explains this very simply in one verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yovanam jara. The embodied soul, that's you and I. In this life, we go from childhood to youth to old age. So Krishna says, this is what is going on. When your childhood body dies, you don't die. Yes? Anyone here who lost or their childhood body's gone are dead? No, you can't put your... Yeah. Your childhood body died, you got another body. Your middle-aged body will die, you'll get another body. It happens so mystically, we could say. As we're sitting here just now, the cells are changing, reproducing, changing. Constantly everything is in flux. Modern quantum physics, science can establish this fact. It's already explained in all the great literatures of the Vedas. But there's nothing permanent. This piece of brass seems so real that that is solid matter, unchangeable solid. But if you analyze this, you will find that all it is different atoms revolving and moving at a certain speed, different from the atoms that are in the air and the atoms that make up the body. Everything is energy. Everything is energy. It only is different manifestations of the Supreme's energy. So, keeping on course, or first of all, should we say, there's two lectures I can give tonight. One is to the devotees who have kind of got on this idea that I know that I'm not of the material energy, I know I'm a spiritual being, and I know I have somewhere to go, which is back to the Supreme, back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many people don't know that. Nati vidu svartakatim hi Vishnu durasayaye bahir artamanina. Most people are absorbed in the world, and that takes up their whole time until finally you die. So for those persons who are new to the concept of spiritual life and activities, we're trying to encourage, please do not waste your life thinking that somehow or other I'll make some adjustment in my life. I'll win the lotto, I'll get a better job, I'll marry a better person, I'll get it together. It is not possible. It is impossible. Even if you do win the lotto, even if you marry the best man or woman, even if you have 15 beautiful children and are all obedient, no matter what happens, it's temporary. We can't live forever. And we foolishly listen to the cheating scientists. Not all scientists are cheats, but the ones who pretend, yes, we will become deathless and within the next 50 years. Science will research and we'll allow people to live for 150 years. God forbid, what would it be like? It's hard enough living until we're 80, 90, 100 years old. So this is foolishness, trying to prolong this body. Better we understand that no matter how you manipulate this material energy, you will never find eternal, lasting happiness. Better you transform or transcend, come to another understanding of your existence. Understand really what is going on. This is called Gyan. Knowledge, or vigyan, which means realization, realized knowledge. So this is a far better way to put a permanent solution to the problems of life. A permanent solution, not a temporary sticking plaster. Yes, you have a little cut or a boil, so you put a plaster on it. No, we should look how to purify the blood, how to completely purify that disease. In a similar way, we should not sell ourselves short making adjustments to this material world thinking that somehow it will be okay. It won't be okay. You will have to experience old age, you'll have to experience disease and death. So that sounds really morbid. So don't focus on that, because that's what happens. If we focus on the material, that is guaranteed, it must happen. So we're saying, don't focus there, focus on the spiritual. And when you focus on the spiritual, we will know, na jayate mriyate vakaratschin. For the soul, there is never birth or death. Once having been, we never cease to be. We will always exist. We cannot be slain, we cannot be killed. We never die. We didn't die when we were children and went to youth. We don't die when we go from youth to middle age. We don't die when we go from middle age to old age. And similarly, Krishna explains, when this body dies, we don't die. I'm finished with the shirt. It gets old. You take it off. You get a new shirt. Your car, when it's worn out, you don't drive into the scrapyard and say, this is it. It's all over. And the machine, and off you go. No, you get out of that machine. Krishna says, this is a machine. Yantra, Sanskrit word is yantra, is an amazing creation. It is the most sophisticated machine, but that is what it is. It is a machine. And the amazing thing is, we think we are this machine. And the most amazing thing is, just like, for instance, the hair, yes? We've all got a little bit of hair, more or less, depending on what age you are and whatever, and what your hairstyle is. When the hair is on your head, it's very valuable. If someone comes up and does this to your hair, it's like, hey, don't do that. We're very attached to our hair. We look at it, we comb it, we do all kinds of things for the hair. If we cut a piece of the hair, immediately you throw it away. What happened? It was so important when it was on your head, connected to the rest of the body. As soon as we take it off, you throw it away. We are not the hair. So what is it that we are? Are we the scalp? If you take all your, shave your head off and have a look at your scalp, you'll think, I don't know if that's me. I don't know if I would identify. And if we search in this way, if we take the blood and put it into some nice bottles, and we say, is this you? Not exactly. No, I don't think that's me. And we get the skeleton, kind of wobble skeleton. Is that you? No, I don't know. That's not me. That's not me. We won't be able to find. So this is called false ego, and it is very powerful. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ahankara, or false ego. That which forces us, conditions us to thinking, this is me, this body is the all in all of my life. So, as spiritual practitioners, we are constantly realigning our focus so that we can stay on the path of bhakti, the path of devotion. Bhogaishvarya prashaktanam taya parita chetasam. Krishna in the Gita, again he says, if we become captivated by sensual gratification and material opulence, the things of this world, we will not be able to stay on the path. Now, the process of bhakti yoga is very, very powerful, because this process explains that we first should experience the higher taste of spiritual activity. Then we can give up the lower attractions to the world, the things of this world. If we say, yes, bhakti yoga means you have to give up this and you have to give up that, you have to renounce this and renounce that, think, I don't know if I'm up for that. It sounds a little difficult. But if we say, let me offer something better, just like if we say to a child, we've used the example many times, the child's playing in the rubbish. If two or three children are playing with rubbish outside in the dirty corner, and you say, come out of there, you silly children, come away, it's not good to play there, they'll cry because they're having fun there. That's their pleasure. They'll cry. But if we say to them, hey, here's a nice pizza, come over and have a nice lemonade or whatever you may offer them, there's no problem. Immediately they can leave that dirty place. Yes? Similarly, we are attached to McDonald's. Maybe not. Or Burger King or Pizza Hut or whatever it is that we're doing out there. We're attached to the bottle of wine to get through the weekend. We're attached to having a part. We're attached to all these things. Why? Because we get pleasure there. There is some pleasure. But if we can say, why don't you try this higher pleasure? Try chanting this mantra, Hare Krishna mantra. Try it. Give up eating meat, fish and eggs for a little while. Try it for a month, or even for a week. And you'll find it's lovely, it's fabulous. And you won't have to suffer the karmic reaction of killing so many innocent creatures. One of my friends told me, yesterday he was telling me the latest statistics that he'd seen. 8 billion animals, 8 billion are killed every year in America alone. 8 billion. I thought in the millions, but 8 billion animals of all kinds. And we are going to church and we are praying for peace, or we're not going to church and we're wanting peace in the world. Let's march for peace. Please try to understand the laws of nature. Try to understand the game that we are playing or taking part in this world. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I think that was it Newton's law of relativity, something like that. So when we go on this path of bhakti yoga, we learn how to eat properly. That will be healthy, nutritious, economically viable and sustainable for the planet. That's just on eating. Sleeping, we understand how you should sleep properly. That's another whole science of how to sleep. We tend to sleep too much. 6 or 8 hours is normal, is required normally. Anyway, that's another whole subject if you take up the process of Bhakti Yoga. How to act, how to live, who to associate with, what kinds of people should we associate that will bring out the good in us. So, one other verse that comes to mind is, I'm trying to remember the verse now, it came to my mind and it's gone. Vyavasaya yatmika buddhir ekkeha kurunandana. Ekka. Ekka means one-pointed, one, ek. So Krishna says, those who are on this path are resolute in determination and they are one-pointed. And the intelligence of those who are not following in this way, this type of life, then bahushaka. Their intelligence is many-branched. It's going in so many directions. Let me go here, let me do this, let me try that, let me try this. As we said, especially in youth. Yes? So that's how we see life. Yes? We're babies, then we're children, inquisitive, then youth comes and it's exciting. Let me try this, let me go here, let me try to enjoy in so many different ways. And then gradually we come back to the point where it's quite embarrassing. And as we get older, it starts to become clear to us that we also will have to possibly use wheelchairs and walking sticks and we must die. And it's a little embarrassing. Nobody wants to, I know old people, they don't want to be a burden on anyone. And you feel like that, oh gosh, how horrible it will be that I have to be taken care of in so many different ways. Yeah? So I've just tried to touch on a few points so that hopefully it will spark some consciousness. And if anyone has any questions or comments, I'd be happy to try and discuss with you, answer some questions if you have any questions. I'm looking for the heaters. Is anyone else quite warm? We came into, this is amazing, we came into the hall tonight and somebody said, oh, we should get the heaters, and we talked about the heaters, and I thought, there's a coin-operated little box out there. So I thought, oh gee, once we start putting coins in, it'll cost a fortune to keep putting them in to keep the heating going. So Adina Leela here said, oh, let's put a dollar in and see. So it's only been $1. And it's been going for the last hour or so, and yeah, I never thought I'd be sitting in here feeling the heat. So questions. Questions and answers. Yes?
I have a question that this afternoon I was I started out at 11 o'clock cooking and stored, okay? And I'm thinking, oh, I'm all into this, I've got music in the background, so and so. And after 3 hours, I completely forgot that mood. You know, I became tired and listless, and I thought, Hari. And then I said, Hari, Krishna, just let me get through this. I realized exactly, you know, how it was supposed to be. And the minute that I sort of said to myself, hey, this is what we're doing, get back down on track. And everything went fine for another hour or two. You know, but I thought, this is outrageous. Just.
So you yes, it's a nice point that you're making. That is the nature of the mind. in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, see, there's two persons speaking in Bhagavad Gita. There's Krishna speaking and Arjuna is listening. And Arjuna says to Krishna, Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramati balavadritam. Oh, my dear Lord, the mind is to me more difficult to control than the wind. The mind has the ability to race away at any moment. So it isn't an easy task to always keep focused. But it is possible by constant engagement and by practice. So we practice to always think of the Supreme, to be connected in acts of devotion. So it's a lifetime's work. And it's not unnatural to become forgetful, but then we can be introspective. One of our great teachers, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explained that a person on this path has to be introspective and always seeing, how am I doing? How am I behaving? How am I being received by other people? How am I impacting on other people's lives? How is my own consciousness? And adjusting, like we said, the pilot is adjusting. So it's natural. We'll be on course, you're going to cook. 2 or 3 hours later, oops, you're kind of cooking, but you're wee over there. Okay, no problem. Don't flip out. Just come back on course and complete the work, yeah? So you're not alone.
It seems to me that like we say, it is going to be a lifelong, this is your work, you know, this is what we're doing, we're aspiring to, it's Krishna consciousness. Then when you think that you've got the realization, for me personally, I have no realization of anything to do with Krishna apart from, because I lose faith so readily. So I'm thinking, when I do go, why aren't I going to go home to Krishna? I'm only going to go as far.
So when you go means when you die, you leave this body.
And now I'm thinking, it's not fair. I've worked so hard for 27 years, I want Krishna. How do I go straight there? So then I think, I'm going to just loop out.
You're going to what?
Loop out for a while, because I want to go back to...
You want to go...
Yeah, I want to go back to...
Sounds like you're not sure.
I've got no faith. I'm always fighting.
Okay, well, your one great quality you have is honesty. And to be honest is actually a great quality. And from that platform, we can make progress. if we're thinking, yes, I'm doing so good, then there's one famous verse, Trinadapi Sinichina, Tarodapi Sahishnuna, Amanina, Manadina, Kirtaniya Sadahari, that one on this path should endeavor to think himself or herself lower than the straw in the street and to be very tolerant, more tolerant than a tree, to be ready to offer all respects to other people and not to demand respect for oneself. In that consciousness, we can really make progress in spiritual life. Humility, and we see it in all the great saints of the world, that mood of humility. But yes, association is so important. That was exemplified by our founder Acharya, our founder guru, our teacher. When we see the videos and when we had his association, we see a person who was 100% engaged 24 hours a day in absorption in Krishna. And how beautiful that was to see and experience a personality like that. So the tendency we have is we have other things in the world that call us responsibilities. We may have to work, and that can be, we can get caught up there, and so many other responsibilities. But we are learning how to dovetail those activities. And gradually we can develop. We've come a long way on the path. That's also important to see. We may feel that we're not making much progress. On the other hand, we have to see, actually we've come along the path quite well. And there's lots more to go. But we're making progress. So don't be despondent. Please, somebody else share something, some doubt or some inspiration or whatever is there. Questions and answers. There's a fame. Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. I'm right with you.
So the aim is to renounce the physical things, renounce the wheel of Maya, and not to go to the other realms, but to rejoin where I belong.
Yeah. Okay.
Just having faith that tomorrow is another day, this isn't going to last, the thoughts will go away.
Very good. Who can remember a verse? I'll speak to all my devotee associates here. What is a verse like that? It just came to mind and dropped back out of my head. There's men. Apuryamanam achala pratistam samudram apha pravashanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravashanti sarvesha shantam apnoti nakama kamai. A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean which is always being filled. It's a fabulous, yeah? The rivers will always flow into the ocean. So desires will always be flowing. Why? Because we're in this world, we have our senses, we perceive the sense objects, we hear something, see something, taste something, and those desires will come. But we are learning that if we take your example, if every Friday night we get in the habit of, oh well, last Friday night was pretty cool, I dropped out a bit, and then Saturday I dropped back in, so I'll most likely do that every Friday night. No, I'm absolutely sure it's not. Yes, so it can happen. So, but we should, as you've experienced, we should not lament. We should not, as you said also, beat ourselves up that I'm so fallen, I'm horrible, I should give this up, I'm wretched. No, we become tolerant of those things and carry on. And gradually we'll become practiced and, yeah. Good. Yes?
In the Bhagavad Gita it says that we should strive to dovetail those desires, doesn't it? What does that word dovetail mean?
It's maybe an old-fashioned word. It's a joint in joinery, carpentry. There's a type of joint that the carpenters before they had nail guns and skill saws. They had dovetail joints. So it's a joint that's kind of shaped like that, and it fits very well. It's a very good fit. So it's basically about dovetailing. Srila Prabhupada, our founder, he used it in terms of whatever propensities, proclivities we have, skills we may have, qualities we have, dovetailing those in service, connecting them to bhakti yoga. So someone may be able to play a guitar, so you don't have to give up playing the guitar. See if you can learn how to use it and sing about Krishna or different aspects of God. Yeah? Or if you're a good cook, then learn how to cook for Krishna. If you're a good dancer, you can dance for Krishna. We can dovetail our qualities. And we're all different. We're all individuals at different stages of our progression and development. So yes, dovetailing. Any other question? Okay, so we're going to complete there. We'll ask our kirtaniers if they'd like to lead us in a different kind of kirtan. The first one was meditative. This is a different kind of it's more lively meditative. So we, at this stage, we'll ask everyone in a moment just to put all the chairs to the side and we'll dim the lights a little and you can just move around. Some of you may wish to dance because that's natural, or you just move as you feel comfortable. And then we'll serve the feast after this kirtan.